Thank you so much for joining the Faith Chapel podcast. Wherever you may be joining us from, we hope that you know that you are loved and that this message encourages you throughout your week.
Great to have each and every one of you here. What a wonderful time of worship. Thanks for joining us online across the country, places around the world. We're glad that you're a part of our Faith Chapel family. And while you can be seated, open up your app. If you haven't downloaded that, that's where you can take notes. We want you to take your notes this morning and be able to follow along in the notes section. Everything there is in the app. That's kind of the hub for our church information hub. So make sure that you download that and you're following along. We've been talking about Rooted in this series. And just kind of to get us started today, I want to turn to Jeremiah chapter 17, verse 7 and 8. And it reads this way. It says, blessed is the man who trusts in the Lord. Say blessed. Yes. Who wants to be blessed? And blessed is the man who trusts in the Lord and whose trust is the Lord. That's a great passage for you to study this week. Blessed is the man who trusts in the Lord and whose trust is the Lord. For he would be like a tree planted. Remember, he is a tree that is planted or transplanted. That's what the word means there. By water that extends its roots by the stream. Let me just talk about that word extends. There's growth. It's movement. It's something that is growing. It's happening. And he said, if you put your trust in the Lord, if you begin to grow in the things of God, if you begin to study scripture and you begin to yield yourself to what God's presence and power is doing in your life, then you'll extend your roots. And that's what I want to talk to you about today, about extending your roots. How can we extend our roots to be all that God wants us to be? We have this tree that's in our reception area. And somebody a few weeks ago walked through and they looked at this tree and they said, you know, that tree could grow much bigger. Now, I'm not sure we want it to grow any bigger. It might outgrow our office area. But they said, this tree could grow a lot bigger if you take it out of that pot and put it in a different pot. That you're literally stunting its growth. In other words, because the roots aren't able to be extended, it's not able to grow. How many times in our lives, because we are not allowing ourselves to be in an atmosphere, or we're not allowing God to work in our lives, that our roots aren't being extended and we're stunting our growth? We're putting ourselves just like this tree is in this plant. We find ourselves in a happy place. We find ourselves in a contentment place. We find ourselves in a place where we're okay, where we've got just enough, and we don't really need to do the hard work to get more, but we've got everything that we need. And so we find ourselves in that pot, so we're not extending our roots. We're just comfortable where we are. We're stunting our growth. If you get nothing else out of today, you understand this, that you're continually supposed to be growing and being made in the image and the likeness of God. That the Holy Spirit's job is to work in your life to help form in you the nature, the characteristics, and the attributes of Jesus Christ. So until you begin to look like Jesus, anybody there yet? I didn't think so, me either. So until we begin to look at a reflection in a mirror and see Jesus only, we've got growing to do and we've got to continue to grow. In other words, we've got to extend our roots. We've got to continue to be transplanted and let God grow in us. The growth never stops. But what happens in our lives is we become apathetic. We stop growing. We get just enough. And that apathy begins to creep into our relationship with God to where now we're not experiencing the goodness of God or the power of God or the freedom of God or the great things of God. We're just experiencing the things that we experienced years ago in our relationship with God. Instead of growth becoming new and vibrant and exciting, growth then begins to slow down and our roots aren't extending. Text verse is found in Colossians chapter 2, verse 6, and it says, therefore, as you've received Christ Jesus the Lord, so walk in him. Paul has four metaphors that we'll look at today. Having been firmly rooted and now being built up in him and established in your faith, just as you were instructed, and overflowing with gratitude. Extending your roots, look in your notes. Number one is this, that you're to walk on a path. Do you realize when you gave your life to Christ that you began to walk a different path? See, you were walking in one direction, and that's what the whole term repentance means. You were walking one path, and then you realized that you were lost and you needed Jesus. And so that word repenting means you turned around. You turned from that path, and you began to walk down a different path. And so you began to walk down a brand new path. It says, continue to live your lives in him. The word live there is the word walk. He's saying, so this first metaphor that Paul shares with us, he's saying, listen, I want you to walk on a new path. It's present tense, meaning it's an ongoing thing. How many of you know that we just continue to keep walking the path? That's why it says the endures to the end are those that are saved, because you've got to keep walking. By the way, you never stop walking, because growth never stops. You just keep on walking, putting one foot in front of the other in your relationship with God. The Bible says this, is that there's a wide path and there's a lot of people that find that path, but there's a narrow path and few find it. So when you repented and you gave your life to Christ, as you said, no, I'm not walking down this same path anymore. I'm gonna walk down this new path, and I'm just going to keep walking down that path. I'm gonna stay true to that walk. Paul talks about it in the book of Ephesians. Let me share a couple of verses. Ephesians 4, 1 through 6, he said, therefore, as a prisoner of the Lord, I urge you to walk in a manner worthy. Hold on, stop just a moment. A manner that is worthy of the calling that you have received. You say, oh, well, man, I'm glad I'm off the hook because I'm not a pastor, so I don't have the calling. Can I tell you, this letter was written to everyone in the church. And the calling that he was talking about was a calling for you when you gave your life to Jesus Christ. You are an ambassador of Christ, that you are a minister of reconciliation, that you are the one that is carrying the light of the gospel of Jesus Christ in you, the hope of glory, that you're supposed to be the one that walks in a manner worthy of that calling. How many times are we falling short and walking in a manner that's worthy of the calling? With all humility and gentleness, verse 3, with patience and bearing with one another in love, being diligent to keep the unity, being diligent to keep the unity of the Spirit through the bond of peace. There is one body and one Spirit, just as you were called in one hope of your calling, one Lord, one faith, one baptism, one God, the Father of all, who is over all, through all, and in all. Walk in a manner worthy of calling. A few verses later, here's what Paul said. So I say this to affirm in the Lord that you are to no longer walk as the Gentiles also walk. What does that mean? He said, well, you were walking this way. You found repentance and you turned from that 180 degree and you started walking this way. So guess what? The Gentiles or the sinners kept going that direction. And now you're going this direction. Now let's just stop just for a moment. There shouldn't be the same kind of sin in the church that there is in the world. I said there shouldn't be the same kind of sin in the church that there is in the world. Amen. Because we're not walking in a manner, we're walking down a manner that's worthy of our calling. We're not walking in the way of the sinners. We're turning away from that. We're walking in a completely different way. We're no longer walking in our old self. We're walking in our new self. We're not walking where we're not filled with the Spirit. We're now filled with the Spirit that teaches us to say no to ungodliness. That's why the closer we get to God, the more filled with His Spirit, we can say no to ungodliness and rise above the world and the sinfulness of this world, and we can walk in victory. See, I know some of you hadn't experienced that yet, so you can't clap. Otherwise, that would set all of you free. Come on, somebody. See, the truth of the matter is that you were walking this way and you found God, and God put you on a whole new path. And if you will allow your roots to be extended and you'll keep walking toward Christ, toward God, because He's the prize. When you keep walking towards Him, you'll be made the image of likeness of God, and your testimony will grow and become more secure. What do you mean by that, Pastor? Well, here's what I mean is, like, how many times have we damaged our testimony in God because we're walking in the way of the Gentiles? See, we keep walking in this way and we find Christ, but we want to do it our way, so we just keep going this way. Well, now I got Jesus, so I'm going to heaven, but I'm going this way because this is the way I want to walk. God says, well, I don't want you to walk that way. That's not how we do it. And you say, well, I'm going to walk this way. I'm going to continue to do the things I was doing before. I'm going to continue to hang out with the people I was hanging out before. I'm going to continue to talk the way I talked before. I'm going to continue to do everything I'm doing before. I just now have Jesus in my life. That's not how it works. See, if you've had a real encounter with God, I mean, you've had a real encounter with Jesus, you're different. That you totally get on a different path and you begin to walk in a different way and you walk in a manner that's worthy of the calling, not like the sinners, not like you used to walk. And then Paul goes on to say in Ephesians 5:15, so then be careful how you walk. Be careful. When's the last time you got up in the morning and you said, well, I want to be careful about what I do today. I'm going to be careful how I walk, how I live my life, how my testimony, how I preserve it. Not as the unwise people, but I'm going to be wise. Verse 16, making the most of my time because the days are evil. See, our daily, steady, step-by-step progress towards the goal of being made like Jesus, we're to walk in him, that is in all that Jesus is for us, all that he has for us and wants to do through us. He's building something in you. We'll look at it in just a moment. Number two, it's rooted like a tree. Having been firmly rooted in him, verse 7. So we've talked about this a lot, but let me talk about the unwelcome roots. Because you remember we talked about the forest and how those trees grow and those roots that grow deep. And then there's others that grow just above the surface, just below the surface. And they kind of link in with the other trees. They help provide the stability during the wind and during the difficult times. And it's a great metaphor of how you and I, we need one another. We need the body of Christ growing and strengthening ourselves and strengthening one another. But there's also in that forest, there's also some things, there's some roots that grow up that aren't supposed to be there that kind of do damage to the tree or the roots of the tree. And the first one there is the religious roots. There's a difference between religion and relationship. How many of you know? You see, religion is man's effort to get to God, but relationship is God's effort to give you Jesus. I don't want a religion, I want a relationship. Because God wants to be in my life. He wants a relationship with me. I want to be in relationship with God. I don't want to practice religion. In fact, I don't want the vain traditions of men to make the word of God void my life. I want it to come alive and be powerful. Matthew 7:21 says, so then, that you may know them by their fruits. Not everyone who says to me, Lord, Lord, will enter the kingdom of heaven, but the one who does the will of my Father who is in heaven will enter. It's not everyone that just says, hey, you know, I'm a Christian. Not everybody. It's the fruit of your life. It's the fruit of what's happening in your life. The fruit of the Spirit is love and joy and peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, and self-control. If you're growing in God and you're walking and you're keeping down that walk, then you're going to grow in the fruit of the Spirit. That's going to be evident in your life. If that's not evident in your life, maybe you're not growing in the right ways or walking down the right road. I think the second root is the root of rejection. And listen to me very carefully because I think everybody deals with this at some point in time in your life. The root of rejection always stems from fear or insecurity. Fear or insecurity. In your notes, I'm going to talk about rejection acceptance just for a moment. Number one, they're rejected because of sin. Do you realize that sin caused us to feel rejected? You remember what it was like in the Garden of Eden, right? Adam and Eve, God came down in the cool of the day, walked with them every day. I mean, how cool is that, right? And God comes down and says, hey, it's time for our walk, let's go. And they have this walk. And then all of a sudden they sinned. And God comes down and he says, where are they at? Adam, Eve, where are you? We're over here. We're hiding behind a bush. We're naked and we're ashamed. Created distance between them and God. It created a rejection, if you will. You know, sin causes that in our lives. Number two, rejected causes us to seek acceptance. When you feel rejected, it causes you to seek acceptance. Don't you see this in the world? That people are going all kinds of different places to try to find acceptance. Maybe it's a gang. Maybe it's a club, maybe it's a place at work, maybe it's a school, maybe it's a gathering of people, but they're trying to find acceptance somewhere. Can I just tell you this, that it doesn't matter who you are or what you've done, God accepts you. Come on. that there's nothing you can do to make God love you more. There's nothing you can do to make God love you less. He is absolutely in love with you. And he's trying to reach out to you every day and pull you closer to himself because he loves you. He accepts you. God accepts you. If you're needing acceptance, then welcome to the family of God. But more importantly, welcome into God's presence and God's power in your life. He accepts you. You can walk on in and find that acceptance in Christ. That's where your identity is. Thirdly, we're accepted because of the blood of Christ. Some of you are going, well, I get that already. I mean, Pastor, we sing about it. I know this. No, let me stop and make this very, very clear. We're not accepted because there's anything that we can do to. There's nothing I can do. Nothing. I'm a sinner. When you look at Paul's writings and he said, I'm the chiefest of sinners. If Paul thought he was the chiefest of sinners, I don't have a chance. He wrote over half the New Testament. What's my only hope? My only hope is in Jesus, in his shed blood. See, it's the blood of Jesus that gets applied to my life, where when God looks down from heaven and he sees his son's covering over me, he says, Brian, welcome in. Without Jesus' blood covering my sins, can I tell you, my sin stands before me and it separates me from God. But because of the blood of Jesus Christ, I can now boldly approach the throne room of grace and find help in my time of need. And then number four, Jesus was rejected so we could be accepted. He was rejected so we could be accepted. He came to give his life away. He came to give his life as a sacrifice for you and I. He came to give it away so that you and I could be accepted into his presence, so we could have a relationship with God. What's the other route? The third route there is the rebellious route. Can I just simply put this in order for us? You know what the Bible says about rebellion? Anybody deal with rebellion? This is the one thing that we do not allow in our home with our kids growing up. This was not gonna happen. There's a lot of things, I'm pretty gracious about a lot of things, but this is the one thing that we weren't gonna allow. You weren't gonna have a rebellious spirit. Not gonna happen. In fact, I don't allow that on the teams that I coach. You can go be with mom and dad in the stands. You can go run laps if you want to all day until you're tired, but we're not gonna deal with rebellion. You know why? Because a rebellious spirit is, the Bible says, is the spirit of witchcraft. It's a spiritual problem. The spirit of rebellion is the spirit of witchcraft. We're not bringing that into our home. We're not bringing that in our church. We're not bringing that into our homes, our families, our relationships. A rebellious spirit. And if you're being honest, there are times where you deal with that. If I'm being honest, there are times I deal with that. Because of the way I'm wired and the way I'm put together, I'm a leader. And if there's nobody leading, I want to jump and start leading. We get into, you're at a store and nothing's happening. I just want to go, hey, go here, do this, right? I just want to take over. Like, let's figure this out. This doesn't have to be this hard, right? Anybody else felt that way? I'm glad I'm not the only sinner in the room. Amen. It's not that hard. Let's go. Somebody make a decision. Let's go. And it's in that moment that my heart gets pricked and I realize this is my rebellious spirit. My sinful nature coming out. I'm supposed to crucify that. I'm supposed to crucify that old flesh. So I think there's some part of us that always deal with this. And so we've got to be mindful of what's going on in our life, because if we're not careful, this rebellious root will grow up in the inside of us. And you know what's akin to that rebellious root is a spirit of bitterness. If you're carrying a spirit of bitterness, then I guarantee you that there's a kindred spirit to that rebellious root. And when you let bitterness root, when you let that root grow down deep inside your heart, what happens is you can't just come by and pluck it off at the top. You can't just come by and spray that like you would the weeds in your yard and it goes away. That's not how it works. I was lucky enough to have good friends. Hopefully you have a good friend like I have. That I was in school, he came by and he said, you know, I think you've got a root of bitterness towards this guy. I said, I do not. He goes, I think you do. I said, I definitely don't. He goes, well, I think you need to take it before the Lord. I go, I'll take it before the Lord, but I don't have a root of bitterness. But I'll go ask the Lord, but I don't have a root of bitterness. I think you're completely wrong. And so I went to the Lord. I said, Lord, do I have a root of bitterness towards this guy? And the Lord said, yes, you do. I said, what? I was shocked. I said, well, how do I get rid of this? He said, pray for him every day. So I prayed for him every day. And guess what? I didn't feel like it the first day. Lord, I know your word says, so I'm going to pray that over him, right? It wasn't really coming out of my heart. It was just me speaking truth over his life. And can I tell you, after 3 weeks, the third week, I was like, God, I want you to bless him. God, I want you to help his marriage. I want you to help his children. God, I want you. It was flowing out of me because then I knew that that was no longer a part of my life. If you're dealing with a spirit of bitterness or rebellious root, pray towards that person maybe that's towards. Pray until you have that freedom of the spirit so you cannot have to deal with that in your root system, because you won't be able to enlarge your roots. You won't be able to expand your roots unless you do. It'll kill you. Number three, build like a building under construction. Verse 7, built up in him. This is written in the present tense, meaning it's an ongoing process, but it's also the passive voice, and it shows this is that God is working on us. God is the builder. He's the one that comes in every day, and he puts on his tool belt, and he says, this is what I think you need. Boom, 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 and he starts building your life. He said, God, my life is whatever you want it to be. I'm yours. Build me however you want me to be built. God, shape me however you want me to be shaped. Work inside of me however you want me to be built up. But he's saying, I want you to be built up. It's that metaphor that's here that Paul's using. It's like a building that's under construction. Have you ever seen a building under construction, or you have ever built a home? Before we moved here, we had the great blessing of being able to build a home and go out to the job site every single day, right? And it's a piece of land. It's not even level. And the first thing they have to do is come in, they have to level it and do everything and put all these stakes in the ground. And it doesn't look like they're making any progress, but it's really important. Then they began to dig the hole, and then they put it in the basement. And then all of a sudden you start seeing it, right? You begin to see it. But it takes shape every single day. It starts going up every single day. You see something a little bit different every single day. And this is the metaphor that Paul is using. He's saying, listen, you're supposed to be built up. Like God is doing the construction. He's doing a work on the inside of you. But you've got to freely let him come in and do it. He said, listen, I'm going to stand at your heart's door and knock. If you don't let me in, I can't do the work. And I want to construct your life. I want to build your life up. I want to do something inside of you. But you've got to invite me in order for that to happen. And I think that's an ongoing process. That's the way it's written in scripture. It's an ongoing thing to where we say, okay, God, I'm opening myself up to you again today. It's not a one-time thing where it's at salvation, where we say, okay, God, and then I got saved. Like, oh, praise God, I'm done. No. You don't look like Jesus. It's okay, I don't either. It's all right. We're all a work in progress. And I hate that bumper sticker, you know, that one that goes around on people's cars. You know, not perfect, just forgiven. I don't like that. If you have that, sorry. Wasn't trying to offend you, but it kind of seems like a cop-out to everybody who's not a Christian, right? But there's no such thing as a perfect person. I'm not perfect. You're not perfect. We're not like Jesus. This is an ongoing process, but I've got to invite him into my life every day to let him do the work. And then lastly, it's overflowing like a river. Have you ever seen the banks of a river overflow? We had huge flooding in the Midwest one year. We were driving from Kansas City to St. Louis, and I-70 was there, and the banks of the river had overflowed all the way up to the highway. I mean, it was like really scary. I was like, oh man, this water could come up on the freeway and begin to take over the highway. And it was huge. And the Bible tells us this, that he says, I want you to be overflowing like this river. But not overflowing for destruction, not overflowing just to be overflowing. But what are we overflowing? We're overflowing with gratitude. And this is our responsibility. The other three things are the things that God is building in us, but this one is our responsibility. This is the result, actually, of the previous three. If we're walking in Christ, if we're rooted in Christ, if we're allowing Christ to build us up, then what happens is we become grateful people. We become grateful for what God has done in our life. We overflow with gratitude. We begin to go, God, you're awesome. God, you're wonderful. God, thank you for what you provided for me. Thank you for giving me life. Thank you for giving me freedom. Thank you for giving me salvation. Thank you for giving your precious Holy Spirit. Thank you, God. Thank you. Thank you for my friends, and thank you for my church, and thank you for my family, and thank you for all my possessions, and thank you that I have a job, and thank you, thank you, and thank you, and thank you. See, we begin to overflow with gratitude. And let me just ask you right now, if you have trouble with gratitude, maybe you're not as deep and your roots aren't expanding and extending as much as you think you are. Because the test here is if you're really growing in him, walking with him, being built in him, then you're going to be overflowing with gratitude like a river. To finish that last blank, overflowing means this. It's to be over and above, to abound, to exceed the ordinary. God wants you to abound in generosity. He wants you to abound in gratitude, in thanksgiving. What would that look like in your life, and how would that change your life? If you were extending your roots and you were growing in God and you were so connected to Christ that every single day you were able to just show, you were just able to show the gratitude of God to not only to him, but to others. The whole reason that I gave my life to Christ and really got into this thing called church is because somebody that I was hanging out with, they overflowed with gratitude. I mean, I would get together with them, and they said, God was speaking to me, and da-da-da. I'm like, man, God doesn't do that to me. I was reading the Bible, and I found this, and I was like, man, when I read the Bible, that doesn't happen to me. And they're like, God is so good, and da-da-da, and God did this, and God has shown me this, and God is this. And they were just overflowing with gratitude. I went, I got to go to their church. We don't have that in my church. And it made an impact on my life. What about you? Where are you in relationship with God that allows you to be grateful? Where's the gratitude? Do you just take God for granted? Let me say it a different way. You take God for granted? Maybe it's because you put yourself in a pot where you became apathetic and it started stunting your growth, and you grew to a place where you thought, well, this is good enough. I mean, this is a nice, healthy tree. It's the size that I want. It's manageable. Life looks good here. And your roots haven't been extending, and so you're stunting your growth and you're stunting your gratitude. I mean, don't we have a lot to be grateful for? Don't we? I mean, really, if we were to open this up, don't we have a lot to be thankful for? I mean, how many of you have at least one friend? I hope that's everybody. You have a lot to be thankful for if you have more than one, right? How many of you have your health this morning? I'm not talking about if you have a little cold like I got this morning. Have you noticed? I got this nice baritone voice. God, if I could keep this without the cold, that'd be awesome, right? God said, I love that. Okay. I sound so much better when I have a little cold. They're like, are you going to preach? I'm like, yes, it's the best I'll sound all year. Are you kidding me? But you have your health. You get made it here. How many of you have a job? I'm not saying a job you like. I just, you had a job. Grateful. How many of you have a family? People around you that love you, grateful. What about all your possessions? grateful. The blessings of God, every good and perfect gift, comes down from the Father above. Grateful. Look at all these wonderful gifts you bestowed. Look at all these gifts you've given. Grateful. With all that's happening in our world, a place to be able to come right here and be able to express the love for God and to be able to worship God freely. Grateful. Right? Grateful. The fact that we serve a God that loves us so much that he wants to be in relationship with us, that he wants to touch his people, that he wants to be connected to us, grateful. The fact that God woke up this morning and he looked at me and he goes, I'm rejoicing over you. Do you know what the word rejoice means? He threw a party and started dancing on my behalf. Praise God.
Praise God.
Now you may not have thought he did that for you, but he did. He said, you're mine. And he just starts throwing this party and starts dancing in heaven. And you're like, really? Yeah, for you. Grateful. I don't know anybody else that wakes up and does that for me, but God. I can't get my wife to do that. I don't know why, but. Grateful. You got food in your house. You got something in your refrigerator. Grateful. You got a car that you can drive, grateful. You able to give and bless somebody else, grateful. Are you filled with God's Spirit? That Spirit that gives you a peace that transcends all understanding, that peace that is the bedrock that guides your life, that peace that no matter what storm you're going through, that you could have that, grateful. Are you filled with the presence of God in your life? It gives you the power to overcome and makes you more than a conqueror. Man, grateful. What about the mercy of God that he makes new to you each and every morning? That you allow to step into the new mercies of God? Grateful. What about the grace of God? His unmerited favor. Where you didn't even have to earn it, but because you're a child of God, he just said, I just want to bless you. I just want to open up doors for you. I just want to bring goodness into your life. Man, grateful. Anybody experience that? Where you get things in your life you didn't take credit for, you can't take credit for? It was just God. Grateful. I mean, gratefulness just ought to be the outflow of walking in this relationship with God, because it's proof that we're extending our roots. We're growing. Grateful. I'm grateful for you. I'm grateful for this church. I'm grateful for what God's calling us to. I can't wait to share the future of what we've been working on for months with all of you in a few months. It's going to be incredible. Grateful. The blessings of God are literally overtaking this church. Grateful. Grateful. If you were to stop and you were to write out all the things, the list would be so long. The past blessings, the past prayers that have been answered, and all the things that God's doing, it'd be so long. You don't have enough hours in a day to even record all of those things, probably. Grateful. How about your heart? See, don't we have a reason to be grateful this morning? Would you, one last time before we leave, would you just stand? And could you just show your gratitude to God for all his blessings? Would you just lift your voice and lift your hands toward heaven and just let God know that, God, thank you. I'm grateful for you. I'm grateful for you working in my life. I don't ever want to take you for granted, Lord. I don't want to take that love that you pour out into my life. I don't want to take the grace and the mercy that you bestow upon me every day. I don't want to take it for granted. I'm grateful. I had to turn to it in my phone because it's not my notes. If you're having trouble with this, I encourage you to take this verse home with you. And this is for someone I felt pressed to share this. Ephesians chapter 1, verse 3. Praise be to the God of our Father, Lord Jesus Christ, who has blessed us. Listen, why are we grateful? Because he's blessed us in the heavenly realms with every spiritual blessing in Christ. For he chose us, chose me, chose you, in him before the creation of the world to be holy and blameless in his sight. And he loved us. And he predestined us for adoption to sonship through Jesus Christ in accordance with the pleasure of his will, to the praise of his glorious grace, which he has freely given us in the one that he loves. In him, we have the redemption through his blood, the forgiveness of sin, in accordance with the riches of God's grace that he has lavished on us. With all wisdom and understanding, he made known to us the mystery of his will according to his good pleasure, which he purposed in Christ to be put into effect when the times reach its fulfillment, to bring unity to all things in heaven to earth under Christ. In him, we were chosen, having been predestined according to the plan of him who works out everything in the conformity of the purpose of his will. Grateful. In order that we, who are the first to put our hope in Christ, might be for the praise of his glory. And you also were included in Christ when you heard the message of the truth, the gospel of your salvation. When you believed, listen, you were marked in him with a seal. The promised Holy Spirit, grateful, who becomes the deposit guaranteeing our inheritance until the redemption of those who are God's possession. That's what we are. To the praise of his glory. Grateful. That deposit guaranteeing your inheritance. That's Christ in you, the hope of glory. Grateful. You have the Spirit of Christ in you. And if you do not, as heads bowed or eyes closed, as no one's looking around, and you're here today and you need to step into that relationship, not a religion, a relationship with Jesus. Maybe you're watching online. I want you to stop exactly whatever you're doing. I want you to make where you are a holy place. And when I count to three all across this room and you at home, you're going to raise your hand. You're going to say yes to bringing Christ in your life. Again, a brand new start. One. Two, come on without hesitation right now. Three, put it up. Put your hand up. Say, I need Jesus. I need Jesus. Thank you. 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 And I'm sure hands are going up all across the airways. Would you, each and every person, would you join me in praying this prayer? Say, dear Jesus, I confess I'm a sinner, and I choose to make you my Lord and my Savior. Come into my life. I surrender all that I am and to you. In Jesus' name. Father, for every person that prayed that prayer, I pray you would touch them by the power of your Holy Spirit. Personalize that saving grace to them. Help them to know that they know, like the Apostle Paul, for I know to be absent from the bodies, to be present with the Lord, that you are residing in their life. You've forgiven them of their sin, but you have a future and a hope for them that extends far beyond just today. May they continue to walk in the path that you've placed before them, being made into the image of your Son, Jesus. And God, for each and every one of us, help us not to become apathetic, not dormant, but allowing our root system to continue to grow and to expand. Lord, we'll never be able to. I've said it. It'll take an eternity to know who you are because you're multidimensional, multifaceted. There's so much more of you to unveil and to reveal to us, your people. So may we continue to pursue you with all that's within us. Touch your people today. May the blessings of God literally overtake them this week. May they become grateful in the smallest of ways. May they be thankful, God, openly with their mouth and sharing that with those that are around them. And may they recognize, God, your hand at work. I thank you for this church and what you're doing. May you continue, God, to do things that absolutely mystify us, because you always go above and beyond what we ask or could imagine. Thank you, Lord, for that. Touch your people, God. Bless them, I pray. In Jesus' name, and everybody said, amen.
Thanks again for joining us today. If you haven't already, go ahead and subscribe to our podcast. If you'd like to further connect with us here at Faith Chapel, visit us online at faithchapelsd.com or any social media platform at faithchapelsd. See you real soon.